Do you have any favorite superheroes? Yes? No? Raise your hand if you do. You don't have to shout them out. You have a favorite superhero? This summer we're watching many, many of them on the big screen. Maybe you've heard of a few of the big ones, like Iron Man came out in May. That may be the best superhero movie that has been yet made, I think. I don't know. Anyone agree? Great. Great film. Then The Incredible Hulk. Ready for that one? Big thing about The Incredible Hulk is he's green. Yeah, okay. The Dark Knight, otherwise known as Batman. Each of these superheroes, each of the movies at least, promises to be an exciting, entertaining film that is really, really, really money-making. So far, at least one has been really, really, really money-making. They tell the story of a superhero, and they're lesser known, at least to the people in the movie, but not outside the movie, their secret identity. And I have learned, it's not universally true, but for many superheroes, they need a secret identity. Because that kind of lends to the reality of the unreal, I guess. You know, superheroes, they're not real like Iron Man and stuff like that, but they have these secret identities to make them somehow more believable. Like Tony Stark, who is Iron Man's secret identity, is arrogant. He has an alcoholism problem. Before he became Iron Man, he wasn't really a great guy. People loved him, but he was just kind of a insert profanity type person here. David Banner, who's the Incredible Hulk, he deals with panic all the time. He has problems entering into meaningful relationships with anyone, and he doesn't even get that his superhero identity can be something that is used for good instead of just causing destruction. And then there's Bruce Wayne. In the TV show, Bruce Wayne was a well-adjusted adult with his mild-mannered ward, Dick Grayson, but the Dark Knight still lives with the horror of seeing his parents brutally murdered. And his answer of becoming a vigilante and all of this is kind of what fuels the darkness of the Dark Knight. And then, in a related but non-superhero secret identity guy, there's a new one coming out called Hancock. And this guy is really, really flawed. It's just, his whole character is flawed. As a matter of fact, he goes to jail as a superhero because he needs to get things straightened out. I don't know much more about the movie except it's Will Smith. July, you know, you got to go to it, right? If you like to see movies. So all of these characters have serious, serious flaws. And I think that in seeing the imperfections of the characters, maybe at least the writers think that we can see the possibility that anyone can have some kind of superheroism. Like 2004's animated feature, The Incredibles. You remember The Incredibles? The Incredibles, they actually turned that premise of the secret, you know, everyone has sort of like a superhero kind of a thing, into this well-made story about secret identities, superhero identities. And do you remember a line from the movie? It was early on where it said, it was relating to the controversy of the secret identities. One of the government officials says, "It's time for their secret identities to be their only identities." You remember that movie? Look at you. You with the lingo in 2004 movie. But that idea, their secret identities, it's time for those identities to be their only identities, they kind of fit in with the Bible reading today from Matthew 6, 24 through 34. And it's not at all about superheroes, but there's a lot of duality in this passage. Like, look at some of the ideas. No one can serve both God and money. Have faith instead of worry. Seek God instead of those other things that we worry about. Live for today instead of worrying about tomorrow. A lot of worry stuff in there. And there are many issues that, you know, you can look at that and get other inspirations. Like, there are many issues we can turn our attention away from and instead turn toward God. Like, we can turn from greed to generosity. We can turn from selfishness to altruism. We can turn from a lust for power into a desire for justice. But in these verses, while we're getting inspired by stuff like that, like this duality of knowing that we can go from, stay away from that and turn toward that, there's a problem. At least I have a problem when I read this part here, because it seems to sum up everything a little too easily. And it's that word, worry, or anxiety, it's translated as in some of our Bibles. And I think that there's a little gem in our Bible reading today about anxiety that we may not get when we just read it. Like the Greek word for worry. It's a fun word that you can say if you want to. Merim now. Everyone say merim now. It's like merim now, because he may not ask you to merim again. No, it's merim now. Merim now is to be anxious about. And that comes from another word, merim na. You can say that now too, ready? Merim na. I feel like Mr. Rogers in Greek today, you know? Good, I knew you could. Merim na. And that means distracted. So merim now, to be anxious about, merim na, distracted. And that all comes from another word, meritzo, or meritzo, some people say, but meritzo. Say that, meritzo. Fun, it kind of rolls off your tongue. Meritzo. Try that, ready? Meritzo. That means divided. So all of these words have the same root, divided, distracted, to be anxious about. And so, really, this word merim now, if you take it at how it comes to be, it means divided attention. So this anxiety comes from divided attention. It's as if Jesus is telling the listeners, taking your attention away from God is what's causing all this worry. And Jesus is calling for this full devotion to God instead of divided attention between God and everything else. But then there's still this word, this state, this anxiety that hangs out there. Even if the Greek says it's about divided attention, how many of you, when you've suffered anxiety, when you've experienced anxiety, can just snap out of it? It doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have anxiety about things like, I haven't gotten a project done, and the answer to anxiety like that usually is get the project done. You know, haven't done my homework, haven't gotten this done, need to address a certain situation. But what about anxiety that you don't have any understanding about? What about anxiety that you don't feel like there is anything to address? It's just there. You can't just snap out of it. Some would say that, address the problem. If you can't address the problem, address the problem because it's a chemical imbalance and we need to have medication for that. And I think there's validity in all of those different things. But the words of Jesus here about worry, they're not trying to debate the medical reality or the diagnosis of anxiety disorder or panic disorder. They're part of the running theme that Jesus has throughout his preaching, throughout this Sermon on the Mount about comfort to those who were listening. So if Jesus is saying, you don't need to worry, I hope that we don't take that as the brush off that is, don't worry, everything will be fine, because sometimes we don't feel like it's going to be fine and we don't know how to address it. And Jesus is not addressing the medical parts here. He's saying, if there's something you need to address, address it. And trust that God can take care of you. I don't think anyone has the ability to never worry about anything. Because if we did, that would be our superhero power. It's not worry, man. Can take anything and not worry about it. And others would say, yeah, that's the superhero who just is irresponsible, never gets anything done. Maybe that's Hancock, if you see that movie. But I think that this passage understands that we will all worry about something. We will worry about things that we can put our finger on and say, this is what I need to address. And we will worry about things that we don't understand. It's just a feeling that comes over us, and we don't know what to do about that. And there are ways to address that too. And while understanding, I think Jesus gets that. While understanding that anxiety and worry is multi-layered and not completely understandable just from one thing, I still think that Jesus calls for a genuine devotion to God. So, everybody worries and have devotion to God. I think that this passage invites us to have full devotion to God in the midst of all of our worry. Because God's love is unconditional. It's not like the passage says, don't worry because God won't love you. It's saying maybe there's not a need to be worried because God will take care of things. But I think it recognizes if you still are worried, if you still have anxiety, God is still there. God is still waiting for you. God is still offering unconditional love. God's grace is everlasting. So yes, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. It's a song that we have sung before. It's the verse that it comes near the end of our passage today. But also know that when we can't explain the feelings that we're having, when we can't explain the situations that are going on in our minds, with our bodies, that God doesn't stop loving us. No, God continues to care for us and to love us. So we can take comfort in seeking first God and God's righteousness. We can take comfort in knowing that throughout our lives, God never leaves us. We can take comfort that instead of having this divided attention where we are worrying about one thing and have God on the other hand, that we can bring all of the worries and say, God, I bring that with me too. I'm here with my worries, I'm here with my anxieties, I'm here with my flaws. I have no secret identity from you. And then we can take comfort in this, and this is how it ends and begins, I guess. In all of that, as we seek to come to God with everything that we are, we take comfort in knowing that we have God's undivided attention. So let's pray. God of love and God of peace, God of comfort, God of unconditional love, thank you for your words. Thank you that we can bring everything that we are to you. Thank you that though we don't always understand it, experience it, feel it, know it, that we have your undivided attention. Amen.